Welcome to the Romad Show. I'm Vanessa Fewings, your host. I'm the author of the Icon Trilogy, The Enthrall Sessions, that's 8 books in that series, and Perfume Girl, my new contemporary romance novel. I'm proud to be a member of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. If you're listening to this on iTunes or even SoundCloud, I would love you to subscribe so you don't miss another podcast. USA Today bestselling author Ava Harrison writes contemporary romance that isn't afraid to explore the depths of the human heart. Many of her characters are known for their complexity. She handles their traumas with dignity and honesty as we dive deeper into one of her stories. There is always an underlying glimmer of hope that her characters will find their way to happiness. Through many of Ava's compelling female protagonists, we see the true profoundness of love and healing. Mary Do, but USA Today HEA blog said this about Ava's latest novel. Absolution is a captivating and deeply affecting love story that's bursting at the seams with emotion, angst, and sizzling sexual tension, and it owned my heart from cover to cover. And that's Mary Do, but USA Today. I had the pleasure of reading Ava's novel Absolution, and I can't wait to talk to her about it. Welcome, Ava, to the Romance Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Vanessa. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you here because, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and I was just saying how wonderful it is to have other authors in the community that you can just throw ideas at. And I think that's what's so fabulous about the romance community, that we all kind of support each other and we all have little snippets of great advice that we can share. Tell me how you came to be, you know, one of a really popular author, definitely in Amazon KU as a USA Today bestselling author. How did your journey start out?
My journey actually started out, I guess it was in 2013. I was blogging for a short stint, and then I had stopped blogging to open a marketing company, but the whole time I had written since I've been writing since I was a little girl. And at one point I decided that I was going to try to write a novel full length because before that I had many, many, many unfinished manuscripts.
Wow.
So in 2014, I actually told my business partner at the time that I was going to step back from our business because I wanted to focus on writing. And I sat down to write my first debut novel, which was titled Imperfect Truth. And it took me a while. It wasn't right off the bat. I basically took months and months of jotting down little notes in my phone, actually. And then one day I decided to publish. That was my first book. And I actually published that book wide on all platforms. And then I honestly thought it was a one-off. I wasn't going to write any other books. And then another story came to me about 6 months later, and I wrote it. And what I realized at that time, 6 months later, is that I was using KU, and I loved reading on KU as a reader. So I had decided to try my luck in Kindle Unlimited, which is basically, I guess you could say, like a Netflix for readers. And that was the beginning of something special. I released Through Her Eyes directly into Kindle Unlimited, and it just did exceptional. It really just took off, and people started to really love it. And I realized that Kindle Unlimited was the perfect vehicle for me to reach readers that I couldn't find elsewhere. And ever since then, well, actually, that's not true. I released Through Her Eyes into all platforms for a few days, and then I went into KU after about a week. But what I realized was that this was a great opportunity for, as a new author, to reach the readers I couldn't find.
Right. And I mean, That's one of the reasons why I really wanted you on the show, is because you're such an amazing resource for authors who are going to try out KU or in KU. We were chatting about that and the benefits, and I actually took the jump myself with my enthrall sessions because of it, and now with Perfume Girl. So I was just so excited. As you say, you just want more readers to discover your work, and it's a great avenue for that. So can you tell authors, if they're really about to publish their first novel and they're not really sure what KU is or how it works, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, KU, the beauty of Kindle Unlimited, right, is that a reader subscribes and they subscribe, you know, and they pay monthly, but they're able to borrow up to 10 books at a time. So one of the biggest obstacles we have as authors is basically convincing someone to take a chance on us, right? They've never read us, they've never heard of us. And in this day and age, with so many expenses, it's so hard. I mean, yes, of course, they could sample our book and then buy it if they choose to, but there's so many books, and so, romance readers tend to want to read multiple books a week. So this is such a reader-friendly platform in which they can, for a flat rate, be able to read 10 books at a time. And although they do pay for it every month, they're able to, you know, try out books that they wouldn't. So maybe I'm a new author they've never heard of before, but they feel like they're not committing, you know, $4.99 necessarily for that title, so they can take a chance on me. And I found that it really helps. And I mean, in the end, they are loyal. When you release another book, they jump at it. They want to read your work. They follow you. But it really does help, especially for a debut author, right? For them to get their foothold into an audience that they hadn't had before.
Yeah, and I think also the thing about KU is you can't be on iBooks or Nook or Kobo. Did I just say that?
You're exclusive to Amazon.
Okay, you're exclusive to Amazon, and for 3 months, that's a 3 month sign up that you have to do. So you basically go in, don't you, to your Amazon account, and it just says, do you want to jump into this KU? And you like hit
that's exactly right.
And then you have to, either before that, or I think they give you 3 days, but really I do it straight away. You just take down your books from all the other places, and they will know if you haven't done it. So I think one of
yes, it is very imperative to not have your work anywhere else, because that is a violation, right? We've given exclusivity to Amazon.
And then it's fabulous because you can then see how many reads you've got, you know, and you know that other people are enjoying your work. And that's what that represents to us as authors. It means that, you know, all that hiding away in your office, you know, it means stories are actually finding new readers. And that's the heart of KU, really. So tell me about your later, you know, your process when you're writing. Do you kind of just focus on one novel and then you just plot it out, or do you just start with a line, and how does that work for you?
So I have like a really unique process, I think, in the sense that basically what will happen is, and it's pretty much always the same, it doesn't even matter which book, I come up with an idea, or I'm very visual. So usually, unlike most people, I kind of start with an image. So with Absolution, I had actually had that image of the cover for 2 years before I actually wrote that book.
Wow.
I saw the image. I had just published Transference, which was, it's a complete standalone, but it is the brother. It's based on Preston, the brother of Jace from Absolution. And I saw this image and I thought to myself, that reminds me of Jace Montgomery. And I looked at the image and a whole entire story took place in my head for what he must be going through to be sitting in that position with his head down in that angle. And so that started the process. And then I tend to start jotting down little notes and emotions in my phone, which is just me kind of like stewing over the idea. But I can't start to write my book until I have the book completely plotted out. I am not a pantser. I don't just pick up my computer and start writing. I need to know exactly what happens in every chapter before I start to write it. Now, of course, I do give myself wiggle room.
Yes.
You know, here or there, there's a scene, but I need to know exactly what is going to happen at the 75% mark, the 50% mark. I need to know even more detail than that. I need to know in a certain scene, key notes. It's like bullet points for each chapter, because I can't write a book without knowing. I tried it once before and I wound up getting to the 50% mark and throwing away 50% of the book because it had gone so off course and I no longer knew where it was meant to go. So from then, that moment on, I've always sat down. It takes me weeks to plot a book. I talk on the phone with my critique partner, who happens to be one of my best friends, and we plot out the book 100%. And then I find that once the book is plotted 100%, I can write a book in approximately 4 weeks, because I know exactly when I sit down and I go to my computer, I know exactly every bullet point that needs to happen. And of course, there's wiggle room to make it, you know, funny and a little sexier, but I know what's happening in that scene.
And I think,
and then it takes me a So it takes me a full month after I write a book to edit a book. Yeah. Because I consider the first draft basically my bones, and yeah, then I fatten it up and I make it, you know, I layer in the sprinkles and the thing that makes the characters their characters. So it might take me 4 weeks and everybody's like, you're such a fast writer. But it takes me a full month to go back in and turn a book that maybe was 70,000 words when I started into a 92,000 word book.
Yes. That's amazing. And I think what's wonderful is I've had authors on the show who've said that they are just pantsers. And I personally, I'm a pantser. I like kind of have an idea and then I just go for it. But because it actually takes me 3 months to write a novel, and then the three to four months, and that's with the rewrite. I feel like I can kind of feel my way along and the plot kind of comes together, rather than writing it so quickly, because I can only, believe it or not, I can't write as fast as you. I just don't have that gift.
You know what I think, though? If you think about it, though, my book takes 8 weeks to write. It's just that the fast draft, that first, like,
yes,
just putting the story down. And then I spend at the 4 weeks, you know, the 4 weeks I spend editing, it's when I really delve into the characters. It's when I make them living, breathing characters.
Yes. Yeah. I think what I'm doing is I'm staying with the chapter for a few days. So I'm kind of trying to get it. I'm learning about the characters and they're evolving as I'm doing that. So that is kind of my process, because I'm scared to leave a chapter before it's full, it's finished. Now that's what's slowing me down and I can't undo that. You know what I mean?
And that's why I don't do it. I try. You know, I really do try to go back, and then I realize it's stunting my creativity. If I sit back and look at the chapter, I start to second guess myself. And then I wonder if that's right. Should I change it? And I said, you know what? It's easier to fix words on paper than to fix nothing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I want to talk to you about Absolution. I had the pleasure and the honor of reading this book. Actually, I listened to it on audio. And I'd heard that you write some, you know, deeply flawed characters, or characters that are going through excruciating pain. And so listening to this book, it was a really interesting journey, because you were very brave. You went to talk to about a widower. It's a very romantic book, and it's about love, and it's about absolution and redemption and guilt, and what stops you from being loved and loving yourself. Was that based on, are we allowed to ask, if there anything personal out there that you can draw from to bring those?
So, you know what? I do draw certain things for every one of my books. This one, and this isn't the first time that I've had this question asked. So typically I draw one character flaw from myself. Wow. So it might not be, so Jace is a figment of my imagination. He is 100% based upon a picture I saw and the story that came into my mind. However, there's always going to be one character flaw in an Ava Harrison book that comes from myself. Something that I'm trying to, it's almost like cathartic, right? Something I'm trying to work through, or something I've already worked through, and I feel like writing this book could maybe help someone else work through it. So for Sydney, she had that need to always get approval. And she always, you know, I mean, I don't want to ruin the plot of the story, but that would be something that I had done in my early 20s, something that I felt that I took from myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I'm thinking about books that I've written, and I'm not even going to say what the flaws are. Oh my gosh, I'm about to reveal my, you know, flaws, because yes, they're in there. So I so relate to that. Was it an emotional book to write? I mean, was it cathartic as you're writing it?
There's so much in that story of Sydney's journey that I took from my own life, whether in the 20s or in the 30s. It was very emotional. There is a certain scene in the book that I won't spoil, but I cried a lot while I wrote it because it was a part of my own journey. Yeah. So, yeah, it was very emotional. I cried a lot while I wrote that story.
Yeah. I think I know which part you mean. And it is, I think it was the first time I'd listened to that or read that in a novel. And it was hard to endure that. But it's what makes your characters who they are. And it actually is very uplifting. You know, it's very, the book is just reassures you that love finds a way. Not that I want to ruin it, but it's just, you know.
Well, I think that that's what I try to accomplish with my books. They're perfectly flawed. That's basically my motto, right? They're perfectly flawed romance with perfectly flawed characters. But the goal isn't necessarily, you know, it's the goal of my stories is to show you how they persevere, how they find love, how no matter how flawed you are, you learn to love your flaws and, you know, live happily ever after, right?
Yes, absolutely. I love your covers. I mean, I'm just going to say that. Saucy. I don't know why. But I absolutely love your book covers. Tell me about the process of those. You were saying about how you saw the cover for Absolution, and they all, they're great branding for me, you know, when I see them, because I know it's an Ava Harrison novel. Tell me about that process there.
Oh, it's so stressful. It really is. It's, I'm very, very, my branding is very important to me. So it takes me a very long time. I will start the process about a year before I write a book, because I know that, you know, I wrote the Montgomerys, and then I'm going to write another family that I'm already thinking about. So I'm already, although I haven't released Intentions cover yet, I'm already purchasing and starting to brainstorm with my graphic designer the cover for my next series.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And I love the guys you choose. They're fabulous. Yeah. Talking about indie publishing as well, for those who are just joining us, I'm, you know, indie, a little bit traditional, but I love being an indie author. It's something I'm super proud of, and I get tremendous joy from it. The romance community is just phenomenal, isn't it, for us indies, really? It's just remarkable. Would you agree?
I love this community. I don't think there's any community out there that is just as welcoming and wonderful. There's so much advice and so much help. Everybody, I mean, yes, of course, we have our own flaws. But I have to tell you, as a woman in my 30s who've had children, you know, you sometimes when you're a mother, you start to lose your identity. And becoming an author, an indie author in the romance community has helped me so much. The friendships I've made, the women that who are peers to me, they influence me, who I respect, the community itself, the advice that people give me, they're welcoming. Everybody has open arms to help each other. And I just think it's really wonderful. Of course, everything, there's always going to be some issues, but in all, I've never experienced, and I used to work in marketing in New York, anything like this, where there's just so many women who want to help each other succeed. I think, you know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've worked in the nursing profession, and I was a long time ago in the military, but there is a wonderful camaraderie in the room.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And everyone knows something to help somebody else, or we know somebody who can help somebody else, and we're sharing posts. And it's a really wonderful experience. And what we have that's really unique is our readers, our relationship, isn't it, with our readers is just like a family. I mean, we become friends, you know, close friends.
It's very interesting how publishing has changed, right, over the years.
Yes.
And how much the interaction between reader and author, and authors and bloggers, and how the friendships that grow, and then we all travel together and do, you know, different signings and different workshops. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. What advice would you give to a new author coming into the romance community that really is just kind of, they've got their first novel, they've decided to go with KU maybe, or, you know, to self-publish. What kind of, I know that this question is loaded because it would literally take us probably 3 weeks to teach what we know. Is there just kind of a nugget of information that might just kind of help them with, you know, step up into this wonderful community?
Yes. So when you write your first novel, you're so excited and you just want to put it out there, and that's wonderful and great. But you really need to step back and make sure that it is the best type of book that you can possibly publish. Now, KU is really nice because KU readers are a little bit more forgiving, but in general, this book is out in the masses. So don't rush to publish.
That's great.
There's so many people who would rush to publish, but really make sure that you have honed your craft and are presenting the best book that you can write. I mean, whether that means self-editing or hiring an editor or proofreading or getting developmental edits, but the first step I would say is not to rush to just put a book out there. It's to really make sure that it's what you want to be portrayed as your work, because it will be there forever. Also, a lot of people assume that the moment they put their first book in KU or on Amazon or iBooks, that it will instantly be a success. But it doesn't always happen that way. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. Anything is possible. So just, even if you get a bad review or if your book doesn't sell, just keep trucking, because it only takes one. It only takes one reader to read your work and tell their friend, and their friend's going to tell their friend. And the next thing you know, so many people will be loving and enjoying your words.
That's really great advice. I love that. It does, after a while, as you say, you kind of step into this romance community and you're like, oh, is anybody listening or reading? And then the next thing you know, you've got like hundreds of people who are cheering you on, and they're there for you and you're there for them, you know, and it's a wonderful community. You've got a lot of fans. I have some questions for you if you're ready.
Fabulous.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Yay. So the first one, it's from Lauren, and it's, what's your favorite genre to read outside of romance?
I love reading historical fiction that's based in during World War II. I love it. I also love, genre, but it's technically romance also. I am an addict of historical romance.
Oh.
I spend most of my time reading historical romance or historical fiction.
Oh, fabulous. I dabbled in writing vampire historical fiction way back in the day, and I loved it. And I love putting historical moments, called the Stone Master series, I love putting historical moments inside the book, so it kind of ties in. That's kind of fun to do that. I have another question from Lauren, and you kind of did say something about this earlier, but she said, drafts of old books you've not released. Like, I'm wondering whether that other book you were talking about, this is questions from Lauren, but I'm wondering about that other book that you said you threw out, whether you'd be revisiting it or something, or if you've got other drafts that you might return to.
Okay, so you know what? I actually don't. So I don't really throw out my words anymore.
Yes.
So I will re-edit them. I will change them. I will fix them, but I don't. So I have a lot of drafts that I had written on an old computer maybe in 2002. I won't be revisiting those. But the ones that over the last 4 years, the drafts that I've done, I've just gone back in and edited them to make them work. I think because of the fact that I plot out the book in completion, I don't find that I will throw out a manuscript.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I might even clip out something and put it in for later or in another book or something.
Yes, well, that is another thing, right? You have the save for later file.
Yes. We've got a twofer from Karen, a twofer question. It's really cute. The first one is, how many black jackets do you own? Apparently you love black jackets. I love black. I love the color black.
I only wear black. Yeah. So I think this actually comes from a post that I was at a signing in Chicago, and my roommate happened to go into my group and take a picture because I was holding up six black blazers, asking which one should I wear to the signing, and no one saw the difference in the six. I saw the difference in the six. They were all, you know, one was a cape, one was cropped, one was longer, one had ruched sleeves, very different, but apparently I was the only one who thought that. Apparently it's just a black blazer. I would say that I have a minimum of 10 black blazers, maybe more. I'm not sure. I'd have to go into my closet and count.
Yeah, I think that's something to aspire to. I need to. Gosh. Okay, and Karen has another question, but this is interesting. I'm going to read it because it was very compelling. She left it in the Romance Lounge when I said that I was going to be chatting with you. Imperfect Truth covered a lot of tough subjects. I'm going to read what she said. Okay, cheating, depression, emotional abandonment. Now, for a debut book, these are some very heavy issues to jump into publishing. This had to be very emotional draining to write. Did this story take time to develop? And did it take a toll to write? And what was it like?
So it's such an interesting question because I think about this all the time. This is my first book that I wrote to completion. And I remembered the day like it was yesterday. I was talking to my husband, sitting on my computer, and we were talking about book signings and events. And he said to me, do people ever like have affairs? And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, like a blogger and an author. And I laughed at that because I thought to myself, well, he's never been to a book signing event. It's 99% women. And, you know, but then I sat back and I said, wow, interesting. That's a really great idea. And he thought I was crazy. I don't think he really understood what he set off. Because up until that point, I had a bunch of unfinished manuscripts. And every time I came up with an idea, I wouldn't finish it. I would get to the 20,000 mark and just drop it. And then this one idea, and maybe it was because I was so engulfed in the indie community at the time, it just took root. I didn't actually start to write that book right away. What I did was I started to jot down these thoughts, these emotions. And I, you know, and in any marriage, things happen where you might fight with your spouse or whatnot. And anytime I would feel anything, I would write how I was feeling. And over time, it took months and months and months to write these emotions down. And then I sat down. And when I sat down, I compiled a Word document with all of the notes I had taken from maybe March of that year, 2014, until I sat down to write it. I had 20,000 words of notes that I had written on a phone. So when I sat down and plotted it out to completion, it took me 4 weeks to write the book, but that was in November. So it had taken me months of compiling notes to really feel those emotions that the characters felt. I thought that I had gotten some advice that I shouldn't publish that book. Because at the time I was told writing about a cheating spouse is like a no-no in the romance community. But I felt that the story was so much more than a cheating spouse. It was so much about, you know, a woman feeling that she, you know, was not content in her life, that she had no identity. It was so much about like the pitfalls of social media and what happens if you feel that way, what could happen. And it's, I just felt like even though I was told and the advice was given to me to not publish it, I thought it was a really important story to tell, even if it maybe would, my career would never take off from it. So I wrote it anyway, and I published it anyway, and I've never received more private messages from women saying, thank you for touching upon this subject, than I did with that book.
And I think that's a really important message, is you have to trust the process and you have to trust your gut. I think Jodi Ellen Malpas released a book that was about cheating that did very well too. And it is a very sensitive subject and a tough subject and a hard subject. But it sounds like you were able to write it with sensitivity. And, and obviously people are relating to that. So you trusted your heart when you were writing that.
Yes, exactly.
Let me ask you, I'm going to jump straight into this, because I know readers love to meet you. Any signings coming up where they're going to get to hang out with Ava?
So I have in February, I'm doing Holidays with the Bells. That's in Dallas, Texas. And then I have a signing in Boston. Actually, I have a lot of signings this year. And then I'm in New York in August. And then I go to London, which is my favorite city. I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. But London is my favorite city. I studied abroad in London when I was in my 20s. And it is the kind of place that no matter what the reason is, I will go. So when I was invited to do Rare in London, I jumped on it. And I love it so much that I have my next two books that take place in London.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, I have a book based in London. I saw you did, and I know what I do. And I thought, oh my God, that's so cute. That's like we've both got this, we're just passionate about the city. And the title of your next book that's based in London, what's that called?
It's called Intention, and it is a complete standalone. However, the character from Intention, Madeline Montgomery, makes a cameo appearance in Absolution as Jace's younger sister. Mm.
Wonderful. That's brilliant. Thank you so much. I just want to say, do you have a message for your, as we're wrapping things up, a message for your readers that you'd like to pass on?
Oh my, I really don't. I think my ultimate message always with all of my books, and this is something I've always struggled for and I struggled with myself, so I think this is why I make it my message, is to love your flaws. That is why all of my characters will be flawed, because I want to help them learn and help my readers learn to love their flaws. I think that's basically my message.
That's wonderful. I think that's really good advice. I'm going to take it, actually. I'm sitting here. Oh, I've got quite a few to fall in love with. Thank you, Ava, so much for joining us on The Romance Show. I mean, it's
thank you so much.
The holidays. So you were super busy, you're off to join your family, so you've managed to just pop in and visit us, and we're really grateful. So thank you so much for being our guest on The Romance Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Ava. And thank you to everyone again for joining us on The Romance Show. I want to give a shout out to my producer, Pam Stack. As we were talking about KU, Ava's books are on KU, and my Enthrall Sessions and Perfume Girl is on KU. Everyone can buy them, but if you are in KU, you can go and snap those up there. If you want to chat with me, I'm going to be in the Vanessa Fewings' Romance Lounge, and Ava's also obviously on Facebook, so you're going to be able to catch up with her and talk with her. Visit my website for more on me at vanessafewings.com. If you want to email me, you can through there. And that's it. Have the most amazing holiday, and until next time, keep your books open and your hearts full. Goodbye, everyone.